Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. Today we're going to be talking about impeachment hoax. The impeachment hoax that's taking place in Washington. Our guest today is going to be Congressman John Rutherford. He is the representative for District 4 in the U.S. House, and we're delighted that he's going to be with us. We're going to be discussing that in a moment. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, truth is something that you rarely find in Washington today and most other corners of the earth. Truth is not sought after, but Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then for further identification as to what is truth or what truth happens to be, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So when we're seeking truth, ladies and gentlemen, we need go further, no further than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we find the book of truth. And so as I've said so many times before, God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. And anytime we talk about the home of the church or anything theological, doctrinal, biblical, or what some often refer to as political, we're talking about government. And so therefore, anything that we discuss in those categories, ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing it, should discuss it, look at it from a biblical worldview. I call it a central biblicist worldview, and that is truth. In fact, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And then one of the statements that I have enjoyed for so long is from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church father. Jan Hus said this, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And may I challenge us with that statement today. It is seeking the truth, loving the truth, living the truth, and standing for the truth. And may I simply add a little parenthetical footnote to that, standing for the truth even if we have to stand alone, even to face death. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full equipment line for homeowners like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as the professional, including hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about lawn care equipment and hurricane preparedness equipment generation. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road, perhaps some might say, well, where's that found? That's found right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Look for the flagpole, about 165-foot flagpole with about a 40-by-80 flag flying there, Old Glory flying 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the very verge of the beginning of the hoax, fake, phony impeachment trial for President Donald J. Trump. It'll begin today at 1 o'clock, and as you recall, the drumbeat of impeachment, the impeachment of President Trump began the very moment. Candidate Trump came down the golden escalators in Trump Towers, and it's been a drumbeat since then to impeach him, In fact, it was Representative Waters that has continued the mantra, impeach 45, impeach 45. And that's been the mindset. It's now gone through the Inquisition in the U.S. House, and the Socialist Marxist Democrats now, they have tried the Russian hoax and the Russian collusion and for 2.5 years and about $40 million of taxpayer money later with the Mueller report vindicated President Trump. Yet the drumbeat continues today, ladies and gentlemen, from the Socialist Democrats that are trying to accuse our president of bribery, a collusion, or some way of going against the Congress. By the way, there's not one living thing in the Constitution that says that the president has done anything illegal when he has refused to submit to the demands of Congress. It is his executive privilege as the president of the United States to do so. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Schiff and his close association with the underlying CIA affiliate, the one that's supposed to be a whistleblower, which has been discovered now to be an underling with the CIA, I believe was a postulated and put in place by John Brennan and some of that ilk to come out as a whistleblower. They've sequestered him and kept his name out of the public arena, but it's known in most circles today. But now the charge is to President Trump that he's withholding funds from Ukraine. By the way, if I can just do a little footnote on that, I am in favor of withholding funds from most of the foreign nations that's not our friends. In fact, President Obama for 8 years provided Ukrainians when they were in the midst of the battle with Russia. He provided the Ukrainians with some warm bed blankets and some sandwiches to eat, and that's about all he did. But President Trump has been willing to release almost $400 million, I think the number is $391 million of taxpayer money to the Ukrainians. And even though it was withheld for delayed for some 29 days, I think was the total time, now he's been accused of massive crimes. But ladies and gentlemen, even with the full transcript of that telephone call with the president of Ukraine, vindicates the president. Notwithstanding the fact that Adam Schiff lied when he was speaking before the House and read into the record an absolute phony telephone call. I think, ladies and gentlemen, frankly, at that moment, Adam Schiff did not fully realize the impact of the transcript of that telephone call that vindicated President Trump when he was caught with his hands in the cookie jars reading an absolute farce, phony, fake transcript of what the telephone call really said. But, ladies and gentlemen, that famous telephone call, I believe, fully exonerates our president. And I believe that it's time we as Christians, we as conservatives, that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and continue to encourage our representatives and our senators, both on the local, state, and national level, to continue to stand for our president, continue to hold his hands up, continue to be all that can be done, do all that can be done to make sure that he is successful as he has been. He has been, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest president in my lifetime, and I'm still less than 100 years old. And I believe that he has done more for America and our stand with Israel, which God ordains in the scripture. I believe he's done more for America and our stand with Israel than any other president cumulative in my lifetime. So I think we need to pray for our president, especially as we're going through these final days of the hoax, fake, phony, false accusations that's led to the point now of the impeachment, not just the impeachment inquisition, but now the impeached trial, where our U.S. senators will stand as jurors in this process. And ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this process, Nancy Pelosi whining that it is a cover-up. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer is now saying that somehow, some way, something is being done wrong. I don't know, but ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that what they're accusing the Senate of now, they've already orchestrated, carried out before the general public, with most of it being done down in the skiff in the Capitol, where no one could see it or hear it, and the cell phones of those participants taken away that they could not even communicate. But ladies and gentlemen, we find today that we're on the very verge of what could be a major, 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 major catastrophic event for the United States of America if this impeachment inquisition and now the trial comes out against our president. So pray for President Trump. I believe every Christian should pray and ask God to intervene. I believe in November of 2016, when God put President Trump in office, it was as a result of God's divine intervention that placed him there. And I believe it's God's divine intervention that can extricate him now from the jaws of the enemy that's trying to tear down and destroy. ladies and gentlemen, the very things that the socialist Marxist Democrats are guilty of, they're now charging the Republican Senate with. That is a so-called cover-up. I find that absolutely antithetical to anything that's called truth. So just what will the outcome be? How will the end result be? Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today with us Congressman of the 4th District, representing the 4th District, U.S. Congressman John Rutherford. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thank you, Pastor. We're delighted to have you with us. Good to be with you.
And ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind telling you this, and he might not want me to, but I will. I've known him for less than 100 years. I consider him a Christian brother, a friend, and it's always my joy to be with him and to have conversation with him, especially when it comes to issues that I believe go back to the very fundamental, rudimentary foundation of what we should do as Christians, Christian businessmen, Christian women, Christian men, and Christian men that God's placed in office to lead us as a people, as a nation. So, Congressman, thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule to be here. And ladies and gentlemen, because of his speaking engagements since he's been in town, I think he's been preaching too much, as I say, but he's almost lost his voice. So I know that you'll bear with him and be praying for him today as we have this dialogue and discussion. Congressman, you've heard my monologue and brief dialogue and speaking to the issues about this hoax trial. Tell us, just take your time and tell us from your perspective and your Washington seat that you hold as representative, what have you seen, what have you heard, what has happened in the past, and what can we expect now?
Well, you know, in my first term in 2017 and 18, I was actually serving on the judiciary at that time.
That's right.
And that was the committee. At that time, it was under Chairman Bob Goodlatte because we were in the majority in 17.
Right.
Then in 18, Jerry Nadler, Chairman Nadler, became head of that that committee. And thankfully for me, I was able to move at that time to actually a little before he took over. I moved to Appropriations Committee. But during the time that I was on the judiciary, this whole Russian collusion thing started to break. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what's most interesting. I think when you look at, and I don't think people really know the genesis for this whole situation. What really started was the intelligence community discovered Russian meddling in our election. And as the Inspector General said,
Horowitz report,
there was no bias in finding the Russian meddling in our election. There was no bias by anyone involved in that. And that part is true. However, where the bias, and in fact, not just bias, but now we know criminality became involved was when the intelligence community decided, working with those in the FBI, before President Trump even became President Trump, when he was still a candidate, they were going to take him out with this dossier in this Russian collusion story. And so where the bias came in was when they decided to take a truly unbiased, found meddling by the Russians, but then they wanted to tie Trump to it and blame him, candidate Trump, for working with the Russians against the Hillary Clinton campaign. That's when everything started.
And so basically you're saying the nexus of it all was as a result of the Hillary Clinton campaign, the DNC, and their connection with Russia. Then they wanted to say this is a collusion with Trump.
Exactly. So then they decide they're going to paint Trump with this, and that's when the bias and the criminality came in. That's when you heard Peter Strzok. I read the text message.
Yes.
You know, this is going to be our insurance policy. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Yeah. This is going to be our insurance policy to take this guy out. He'll never become president. You know, he assured Lisa Page that he will never become president.
A million to one, I believe he said.
Yeah. It was.
In fact, he's the same one I believe that said that he could smell the Trump. He could smell the Trump voters, the Trump supporters at Walmart.
But yes, yes. And so, now, I thought, having watched this in the beginning, I thought at worst what the FBI had done was gone into the FISA court while they were surveilling four Americans. They'd gone into the FISA court and lied through omission.
Yes.
They didn't tell the court about the DNC paying for the Steele dossier that was run through Fusion GPS. They didn't tell them any of that. But now that the Inspector General's report has come out, we discover not only did they lie through omission, they actually lied through commission.
Yes, absolutely.
Klein Smith literally falsified a document from the CIA where he had written over to the CIA, is Carter Page a CIA asset? The answer came back, yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He was working for our company, our country.
He left that out.
It left all that out. In fact, he changed it. He changed the email to indicate that Carter Page was not an asset, and then he marched right into the FISA court and presented it.
And got him to sign off on it.
Yes.
And that is
criminal.
Absolutely. I'm praying there will be justice eventually with that aspect of it.
There absolutely will be.
We'll talk about that further in a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
I want to go back, and I'm really sorry to interrupt the flow of your thought here, but I want to go back to the beginning and what Doc said. And I want to make a very positive statement on Sheriff Congressman Rutherford's behalf. John would probably recognize me, and I use his first name because I, too, consider him to be a brother. But I want to make a couple of observations. I am politically and I am theologically a little bit to the right of Attila the Hun, and therefore I'm right in everything I believe, and other folks are wrong. John is not that far to the right, so there's some issues that John and I have with each other that really are not all that significant. But the group I run in has been a little bit hard on John and gave him a lower congressional score than they should. So I want to make this statement going back to what you said in the beginning, Doc. This man is our brother in Christ. This man stands in a position for this hour because of his strong Catholic background, actually, to stand against those things that the evil Democrats wish to put upon us, not just the topic of impeachment today, but the topic of the right to life and the sanctity of human life and of the traditional family. Those are the thumbprints of Satan. That's what he wants to destroy. And this man that you have on your show today is a man for this hour. He's a principled, godly man who understands this, and this is the last thing I want to say. John Rutherford understands that we're at spiritual warfare. And if every congressman understood that, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. This is spiritual warfare. And my brother and your brother, John Rutherford, knows that. He is the right man in the right place for this very evil hour. There is nothing more evil right now than what is happening in our Congress. It is against everything my father fought for in the war, his father in the war before him, and that I also, in my limited contribution during my Air Force days, put my life at risk to defend. There is no enemy greater in the world than our own backyard through what Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and all the other minions of hell that are present there in the Democrat Party. John doesn't share my view. He's a very collegial man, but he does understand we're in spiritual warfare. And so, as I said, the last thing I wanted to say is this man understands that. I am grateful to my brother, John Rutherford, and I encourage him, please, to live by your standards and keep fighting the good fight that you are fighting, even though you're not 100% correct like I am in my position. Okay? Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And listen, this is, and I've said it a million times, and I know you've heard me say it, that this is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a battle of principalities. I said that when we were working the street, and I know that I see that same presence in that same battle in Washington, D.C. And I will say this: people need to be careful where they get their information and how they make their decisions and judgments of people in their actions or their votes.
Yes.
I can tell you, some of these organizations that profess to be incredibly conservative and they're scoring congressional votes and that kind of thing. I challenge anybody. If you see a vote that I've taken that is contrary to one of these organizations that you think is a conservative group, call me. Call me and I'll tell you exactly why I voted against that bill. And it happens all the time where the full application of that bill is not discussed. And I know in my heart, if that bill were to pass and become law, that the ramifications down the road are significant. And so there are some bills that most conservative groups might want to vote for, but I'm not. But call me and ask me, and I'll tell you why. But know this, I'm always voting my heart and what I believe the men and women in Northeast Florida sent me to Washington, D.C., to do.
Amen. Well, I believe, Congressman, I could simplify it a little in my mind. Many times the truncated version of a bill that is read by so many right. is not the full bill, of course.
No.
And the real essence and the real harm in that bill is many times hidden, and those that are pushing it, wanting it to go through, will not reveal that portion of it.
Right.
And I am amazed also, ladies and gentlemen, the number of bills that are passed, whether it be local, state, or national, that those voting on it never read the entire bill.
Mm-hmm.
They would read a truncated one-page or paragraph or two version of it, and I am thankful for those that will read the bill and make a determination what needs to be voted on and say yes or no with an honest integrity of doing so.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood we're talking with today, U.S. House of Representatives member of the 4th District, John Rutherford. We're looking forward to our continuing conversation. We'd love to have you join in. If you got any questions or dialogue or discussion about it, dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Congressman, we're talking about, and we interrupted that dialogue and discussion briefly, we're talking about you giving us a basic overview of the past and bringing to the present of what's happening with the hoax impeachment trial for President Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. Continue with your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so we know that the whole beginning of this investigation of President Trump on the Russian collusion deal, that fell apart. They couldn't impeach him for that. Then they come up with a phone call. I'm sure they never imagined that he would release the transcript.
That's the crux of it.
of the call, and even in this, you see where Adam Schiff. Now, you have to imagine, he is sitting in an open committee as the chairman and starts this dialogue of the phone call.
Yes.
That you just referenced.
I watched it, yes.
And it was horrible. I mean, it sounded like it was right out of, a mafia movie. And none of it was true.
And what did you say? He said Trump said he was talking to Vladimir, the head of Ukraine, said, now I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it only seven times.
Yeah, seven times I'm going to tell you this. Now, here's my point. If Adam Schiff believes that true transcript, what the president said was so bad, why didn't he just read it?
That's right.
Why didn't he just read the transcript? Why did he make something up?
And then later call it just a parody, and he knew
and
it wasn't
call
correct.
It, right, yeah. And then call it a parody.
Yeah.
Just exactly what's going on in the Senate right now.
Yes.
They send this case over. It's a slam dunk, they say. You know, president is guilty. They've got all the evidence. It's a slam dunk. But we want to call more witnesses.
Yeah.
But we want more information coming in.
That's right.
Well, if you already have, if you sent the Senate a slam dunk case for impeachment, why do you need to add to it? It's a slam dunk.
In fact, if I could insert this, if there were any criminal court case, the judge would laugh at them. You thought you've already proven your case. You've already given the indictment, and now you wanted to add to it.
The best two articles of impeachment that they could come up with. One was abuse of power. That's not a crime.
Nope.
That is a description. The second one, which is obstruction of Congress, is a disagreement between the House and the presidency.
Between the executive branch and the legislative branch.
Exactly.
That's happened a million times in this country.
Where's it always resolved? In the courts.
In the courts. That's right.
Would they go to the court to resolve it? Mm-hmm. No.
No.
They claim it. Oh, he is obstructing Congress.
He was using executive privilege.
Exactly.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
It is. It's interesting to me that these folks, now that this has gone to the Senate, all these witnesses that they did not want to call or did not want to wait for things to progress and the executive privilege to be challenged, those witnesses now they want to call plus some. This fellow lived on about for many months and refused to call. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying you're absolutely right.
Yeah, these are all things that should have been handled in pretrial discovery, and that's what essentially we're going for the trial, so the things that took place before we would call pretrial. The pretrial discovery is over with. John Rutherford, you've already made the point. You know, they didn't want to wait, and now, of course, they want to spring the witness on the Senate or force the Senate to call witnesses that they were unwilling to call themselves. And you go, you know, we would call that a surprise in court. That wouldn't be allowed. The judge would, you know, bump and say, really, these witnesses have been known about all this time. You don't get to call them last minute. We're not going to turn this into a Kavanaugh hearing circus, and that's what they'd like to do. I would like your opinion on this Second Amendment rally that took place in Virginia yesterday. I think it's amazing how things went so very well. If guns were the problem, there'd have been a lot of problems yesterday. But I understand they left the streets in Richmond cleaner than when they came, and law enforcement showed up holding banners, "We support you." I mean, it was amazing. But what's your thought? What can we do to lock the hands even further? I mean, the Second Amendment really locks the hands of the federal government encroaching that Second Amendment. But what's your take moving into the future? How we can, as citizens, make sure that right is preserved for our children and our grandchildren?
Yeah, you know, I told somebody the other day. I said, with all the guns that we saw in open carry in Richmond, the number of dead bodies in Richmond must be horrific. And the media has got to be covering it up because we know that guns kill people. And, you know, so the media has got to be covering that fact up. If you use the Democrat rationale about weapons, you know, guns kill people. Listen, what we have to do is we have to be vigilant. You know, one of the laws that I was just talking about, and I think we only got a minute, but let me say this. You got to be careful about laws that get passed. Like H.R. 8, the Democrats ran H.R. 8, which was talked about as a universal background check bill.
Yes,
and I'll come back and finish that conversation.
You'll hang on after the break. We've got about 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. And hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Stay tuned. We'll complete our dialogue and discussion with Congressman John Rutherford.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.